God damn, that stinks. Welcome to this edition of the Ballin' Out Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan, here with the other half of the Wet Bandits. Harry's on vacation. Marv is well-shaved and clean for this edition of the show. How you doing tonight, Russ?
I'm doing pretty good, Jordan. How you doing, buddy?
Buddy, I'm good. I'm glad to have you on with us. It's like old times, ain't it?
Oh, man. Starting the old bus back up.
You're right, cranking her up. Buddy, we're going to talk about this that big orange and white game this weekend. We're going to talk some basketball portal news because we got a little bit to talk about there. And then we're going to talk about the baseballs. We're going to take a trip around the diamond. You ready to roll with it?
I'm ready when you are, brother.
Man, okay, so let's talk about that game in Neyland on Saturday, buddy. I mean, there was only 10,000 people allowed to be there. I don't know what to say about it. I don't know what you can really take from it other than, you know, you got to see a lot of the younger guys go at it. We did see some of, I think we've seen how deep our quarterback room is, honestly, though. I mean, Nico was Nico. Yeah. He went 7-for-9 with 96 yards and a touchdown pass. You can definitely tell, though, that we were missing a few starters along the offensive line. Spraggins, Mays, Lampley, Carrick, they were all out. No sense in getting them hurt for a spring game, though.
No, I mean, it stood out that we didn't have them, at least early in the game. I mean, but you're going to get that. I mean, you're going to get that with young guys coming in who ain't got a lot of experience, and that's the way our offensive line is. The backups don't have a whole lot of experience.
Right.
So the more experience we get is going to be good.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, especially game-time experience. Like, you can do practice. There's practice speed and there's game speed. They need game speed experience. And I'll tell you this, as good as our defensive line is shaping up to be, they got plenty of game speed experience Saturday. They needed it.
That defensive line is going to be great. It's going to be spearheaded, obviously, by James Pierce Jr. Right now, he's listed as number 2 on CBS. Behind only Travis Hunter.
Dude, that kid is a freak, man. Like, get that boy out there and let him eat. Just let him eat. Let him do work.
He did great last year on a team who, in a lot of people's eyes, under-succeeded what they should have been. But he over-succeeded what anybody probably even thought that kid had in him. Led the defense last year, and he's going to do it again this year.
Oh, he led it by a long shot last year. But, you know, here's the thing. I know we all got caught up in the idea of that Orange Bowl with Joe. Mm-hmm. He looked good. Mm-hmm. He pretty much had the same offense and the same skill players he had around him for that Hinnon had around him for that game.
He did.
But it's different to do it for one game and do it for a whole season. So
it is.
I know you and I bought into it. Me and Swan. Swan, he's taking a break tonight, which is cool. My man had to work. I get it. Got to make that paycheck. You know what I'm saying? But you know, I think a lot of people put a lot of unfair expectations on Joe. We were one of them last year. Joe didn't look awful, but you can tell the offense was not, I don't want to say bad. It wasn't what we thought it would be.
It wasn't, and that was – it was disappointing. And I wanted so bad for Joe to succeed last year in this offense. And what I mean by succeed is do better than he did. You know, maybe get 10 or 11 wins versus 8, 9, you know. Where the ceiling was at, we were off, Jordan. Me and you had that ceiling of that team last year at 10 to 11, and they fell way off.
You know, the thing about it is, though, man, is I don't feel like we were way off. I feel like, okay, the Florida game, they could have won.
They
should have won, honestly. If they'd have played good in the first half, they'd have won. The Bama game, different story. Mm. If they play good in the second half, they win that game. It is what it is, though. I mean, we can't go back. We can't change it. But, you know, overall, I would say last year, considering that we were, you know, 6-7 year one under hype, then we go 11-2 technically with the bowl win. And then we go, you know, 9-4 last year. I'm not mad about it. I'm not mad about it. I don't, you know, that team lost a lot last year with you know, Darnell Wright, Jalen Hyatt, Cedric Tillman, all those guys going on to the NFL. Joe did the best he could with what he had.
He did.
Nico.
And Joe did the best of what he could do to his ability. I do feel like Joe gave his all for Tennessee at the end of the day.
I don't think anybody can question him being a good teammate. I just don't. And if
he
they do,
wanted us to succeed.
He did. And honestly, I think that's part of why he, outside of, you know, being like, well, I'm going to get ready for the draft, is why he set out the Citrus Bowl. You know.
I do too.
Nico was impressive. I mean, in what little we got to see of him. And I'm glad we only got to see a little of him.
Me too. But I don't want to show anybody more of him.
No, keep the Samoan sensation in the cage.
Yes, sir.
I want to say this though, man. Gaston Moore looked really good.
I mean,
you can't two touchdowns. He dropped an absolute dime to Mike Matthews. That kid's going to be a stud.
Mike Matthews, man, I'm excited to see what we get from him. But that, you're right, that pass, dude. He's got a pretty arc on his pass.
I'll say it right now, dude. I think Gaston could start for half the teams in the SEC right now.
I mean, Gatson's one of those guys, man, that if, you know, by some hook or crook, Nico goes down with an injury, I hope that doesn't happen. But if he does, I mean, I think we're in good hands. I think the QB room's stacked. I mean, it goes beyond Gaston Moore, but
it is.
You know, Gaston Moore really showed why he should be second on the depth chart.
Well, you know, Gaston, he had a couple touchdowns. Then, you know, you got Merklinger. We had Boogie on a while back, Boogie Bentley. And he was like, I like where the quarterback room is at, because Merklinger is a competitor at the end of the day. He showed it. He showed it Saturday. He had a 26-yard touchdown run. And, you know, the spring game, it's one of those deals. You get touched, you're down, especially if you're a quarterback. He didn't get touched.
No. So that 26-yard scramble was nice.
You can look at it and be like, hey, kid's got some wheels, or, you know, her back seven needs to speed it up a little bit. But either way, it was still a nice play. I'm going to say this, though. Defense looked really stout, looked really solid. Granted, I get it. You know, it's a spring game. But that's the thing. If we want to be true playoff contenders to make a deep playoff run, you know, with the expansion of 12 teams this year, that defense is going to have to come to play every week. And they looked really good. They looked really good. They got to be better than they were last year.
You know, to touch back for just a second on the QB room, you mentioned how good they are. One thing I did notice, and it was noticeably better, at least in the spring game. I know it's a spring game, whatever. The awareness of the defensive offsides and to take that shot downfield while you have a free shot. Like last year, I saw multiple games where we had a couple of defensive offsides and Joe would toss the ball to the side on the screen, or he would hit a slant. Launch that thing downfield. That's the one time that I want to see you throw it downfield, because it's not going to hurt us.
Right. Right.
It's not going to affect us if you throw a pick, whatever. It's going to be in our favor. And I noticed at least three times in this game where when we hit one of them, we hit one of those for a touchdown. But the other two we missed. But I'll take 5 yards and missing the 50-yard bomb for the touchdown, or I'll take the 50-yard bomb for a touchdown. Either one sounds good to me.
Yeah, you're playing with house money in that situation. Just chuck it. Chuck it. Yeah. See what happens. You know, because it don't matter, even if it goes to, you know, offensive pass interference. the ball don't go over on downs, even if they pick it off on that, because they're offsides. Chuck it downfield. Throw it.
Yep. I did not see that enough last year from this QB room.
Yeah.
So that was something that's... I was in love with that during that spring game.
Yes, yes. Now the flip side of that, though, we had a lot of defensive offsides. We got to fix that.
That's got to be fixed.
But
go ahead.
That's what the spring game's for. You fix what's coachable, and that's coachable. It's fixable. You got to do it. Some things aren't. Some things are. Everything that happens in the spring game, though, is coachable. From there on, if you don't fix it over the fall, it's habit, and you got to break habits at that point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we'll see what happens. But you know, overall, I thought that the defensive line looked good. Defense looked okay. I thought the quarterback room is in good shape, and I thought the wide receiver room looked good. Because I mean, you got to look at it like this too, man. Squirrel didn't play.
Nope.
Brew didn't play, which is good. Like, you know, get those young guys out there. Get the older guys healed up. Get the young guys out there, give them some experience.
One young guy, because we saw a bunch of young guys in this game that I'm uberly excited to see play for us, not just this year, but in the future. One guy that I didn't get to see, and it really was disappointing for me, was Braylon Staley.
Yeah.
Wide receiver. He was number 21 in the class last year at wide receiver. That dude's going to be – he's not – don't get me wrong. Mike Matthews is that guy. Braylon Staley's going to be that second guy.
I think he – if I remember right, I think he was kind of banged up a little bit. So they sort of –
he was.
Kept him out. So, you know, it is what it is. We'll I'm sure we'll hear a lot about it come fall. Wide receiver room, though, man, that's what I want to touch on, because hype is really excited about this wide receiver room. And when that man's excited about it, you know we got a lot to be excited about, because, I mean, think about what he's had just since he's been here. Velus Jones. Velus wasn't great, but he's good. Cedric Tillman, Jalen Hyatt. You know, I mean, it's just – it's crazy, man. Like, we're stacked on offense, I want to say it. I'm going to say it. We're stacked on offense. You get the offensive line out there, you get them shored up, you get them healthy, we'll be fine. Because Nico is going to be good enough to make some hay. You know what I mean?
Oh, dude. The offense is the least of my worries. I think the biggest worry for me on this entire team might be the back seven on defense. Yeah. Everywhere else, I think we're going to be fine.
If we can solidify that back seven, that's something you and I are talking about right now. That's something I've had a buddy of mine that listens to. His name's Dale. Shout out, big old Dale. He messaged me on Facebook the day after and was like, you know, if we can get that back seven solidified, we'll be an elite defense or a really good defense. That's a fact. That's a fact.
No, it is.
The secondary, that's where we – I feel like the secondary is where we really have to shore it up. The linebacker position, man, they're there. They're good. The talent's there. The speed's there. You can't coach speed. It's there, I think. Just gotta you know, let them learn the scheme. Let them do their thing. They're gonna miss some stuff on the fly, especially in a game situation. That's just the way it is. They're gonna miss some stuff, you know, and it's gonna probably be big when they miss it. But that's what happens when you play the young guys.
Now, do you think that's the reason that they moved Boo Carter to nickelback for us?
I think that's a lot of it. I think that's a lot of it. That kid's a freak.
He is, and he can play just about every position on the field. And I think putting him right there is going to be cash for us.
I think having him back there on that back, I think he might be the most talented secondary player we've had since Eric Berry. I'm going to say it.
Ooh.
I'm going to say it.
You know, I can't really put my finger on another guy who brings in the athleticism that Boo Carter brings in the way Berry did.
I'll tell you another good one.
That many positions.
I'll tell you another decent one that you could probably throw out there is Demetrius Morley. Back in the day, Demo was pretty good. He was pretty good. He had that swag about him too. And I feel like maybe, I mean, with
maybe Juwan Jennings, because he's a dog,
right? But with a name like Boo, how can you not be a badass on the field? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just
I'm overly excited to see him. Man, he's gonna be
me too. I'll tell you what else too, man. I'll tell you where I think he'll make another difference, a big difference at actually, is the special teams game, return game in particular, especially on punt return. They worked him there all spring. So, you know, we don't have D. Williams coming back. We've lost that luxury. He went to graduation, whatever it was he did. And man, like he could be a game breaker there. Cause you know, last year without D. Williams, we probably don't win that Texas A&M game.
Oh yeah. He was the driving factor for that win. That touchdown gave us the momentum to win that game.
That touchdown won us the game. Honestly,
it technically did. It gave us enough points to win the game, but it drove us through the rest of that game. I mean, D. Williams was that guy in that game. No, but, D. Williams was awesome as a returner, though, all season last year.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He was the last guy since really probably Cordarrelle Patterson that we've had to be to where, you know, he gets the ball on a return. You're kind of like holding your breath. Like, is he going to, if he's got a chance to return it, is he going to house it? Is he making house calls, or is he, you know, going to take the knee and play it out?
Well, if you remember late in the season, people stopped kicking him the ball. They was nah, we ain't doing this.
Nah, we ain't playing that game.
No. They knew what could happen. I mean, if he got Joe within 40 yards, we're scoring.
Yeah, there you go. And that's what I'm kind of getting at here is we need that guy to – Tennessee needs that guy to put us in a scoring position to where even if it's three, you come away from that drive and you're like, okay, we got points out of it. That was big. Three's better than nothing. You got to do what you got to do with it.
Yep.
Obviously, we want six. But
we do.
There's the thing. I will say this, though. Going back to the Citrus Bowl, Nico is a good runner. I want to see Nico bulk up a little bit and be able to run and not feel like, oh, God, he's going to blow out a knee when he's running. You know what I mean? Like, I want to avoid that. But, you know, at the same time, it's like, well, you got to catch him to blow out a knee. So,
yeah. Nico is holding back, and I think that's on purpose. I think the coaching staff's holding him back a little bit, telling him, look, don't give everything out of your holster yet. You know, use that against Bama. Use that against Georgia. Use that against Oklahoma in Norman.
Yeah.
Do it somewhere that it's going to, you know, that's going to surprise somebody. It ain't going to surprise us. We know you're going to be good.
Right, right. The schedule this year, man, we'll dive into that some more over the summer, but the schedule this year, buddy, it's pretty savage starting with that Oklahoma game. But it's okay.
I'll give you a fun stat on that schedule. We're the first team in SEC history since 1965, Tulane, to have four at-home games in the SEC in a row.
I've seen that, and that's wild to me, man. That is wild to me because it starts what with Florida. We got Florida.
Starts with Florida and ends with, I want to say, Georgia.
No, we got to go to Georgia because Georgia was up here.
Okay, then
maybe
Georgia's
it's Bama. Game.
Okay, yeah, that would make
maybe
sense.
Maybe it's Bama.
I know that there's a 5-week span. We've got four games at home and they're separated by a bye week.
Florida comes to town. Kentucky comes to town. Alabama comes to town. Who would be the other one?
Who Vanderbilt? Would be?
No, it wouldn't be Vandy. No, it wouldn't be Vandy. We played them here.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll have to look. I'll have to look. But I know that's got to be at least three out of the four.
I just thought that was a weird stat to hear.
It is.
Especially with it being 2024. That happened in 65. I mean, that's crazy.
It is, man. Like that's crazy. I'm trying.
And we're the beneficiaries. What?
Right? You know, here's this and I'll say this. This is how far Tennessee football has came in the last 10 years. 10 years ago, we're like, it don't matter where we play them at, we're losing. You know, I mean,
yep.
There's not a game on that football schedule this upcoming season. And again, we'll break it down come over the summer, because we got plenty of content to put out over the summer to talk about that with. But there's not a game on that schedule that we should lose. You know what I mean? Not saying we can't lose them, but we shouldn't lose them.
There's two on the schedule that jumps out for me. Like you said, we'll jump into the schedule later on in the summer and stuff. But there's two on the schedule that jumps out for me, Oklahoma and Georgia.
That's my two. I mean, road games.
The rest of these games are winnable, man.
They're road games. Even though they're road games, are still winnable. But we know what kind of issues we've had winning on the road the last 2-3 years. You got to be concerned for them. But
give me one. You don't have to win both of them. Give me one of them.
Split them. I like our chances in Norman. I'm not going to lie.
Show me that you can win on a hostile environment. Norman's hostile. We all know Samford's hostile. They brought it last time. They brought it.
Absolutely. Eric Ainge. That being said, I do want to shout out a couple of the younger dudes on defense, though, man. Edwin Spiller, freshman. He's a freshman. Ball a lot, 6 tackles and a sack. Jeremiah Tellender had 2 sacks, 4 tackles. And, man, I want to say this. I think one of the big steps, of course, we already knew we were probably going to have one, but one of the big steps in becoming an elite defense is having an elite pass rush. I think we may have it. If nothing else, we'll have a deep pass rush. You know what I mean?
I'm excited to see if Edwin Spiller does the things that he did in this game and is around the ball as much as he was in this game against SEC opponents, along with James Pierce Jr. This defense is going to be dangerous in the front, at least the front four, if not the front seven.
Yeah, well, you know, we've got a lot of people coming back along the defensive line too. So it's going to be a fun year, I think. I really do think it's going to be a fun year. We probably won't know much.
Amari Thomas.
Yeah. We've got the defensive line. I think that's why everybody's like, well, the back seven. The defensive line is short of. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of performing. The back seven, we don't know a lot about them. They're young, and that's fine. They're young for a reason, because the coaching staff sent most of the secondary packing last year because they sucked high and tip. Mm-hmm. But what do? You know, like that's what we're going to go to battle with who we got, and who we got's who we've got. Plain and simple.
Well, you throw enough new paint at the wall, something's going to stick, Jordan.
Absolutely. And
surely one of these young talents that we brought in, guys that we've mentioned on this podcast tonight, are going to make a difference.
They have to.
Maybe not everybody, but somebody will.
It's one of those things, man. The same guy don't have to do it every Saturday. But
nope.
Just make it's a team effort. Game.
There's no I in team. There is an M and an E for somebody gets to be a smart mouth, but
I'll do it. I'm by God, saying. There's a me.
But you know what I mean. It's very team.
Absolutely.
Most definitely.
Absolutely. One guy's not going to make a team, but one guy can break a team. We know that. We've seen it. That being said, though, one thing I do want to say about the offensive line before we kind of go into our debate segment that I've got planned for us here. Even with 4 starters out, man, the offensive line seemed to do really well run blocking. They opened up a few holes, and, you know, maybe it was due to talent. You know, I mean, DeSamp and Bishop, they're going to be good backs. We still haven't seen a whole lot of Cam Seldon. He's kind of banged up. We got Peyton Lewis, 4-star running back coming in. It's going to be fun, man. That running back room is loaded.
Yeah, we've got a good running back room. I enjoy it. I enjoy the running back room, which Dylan Sampson, I've been praising him since he was a freshman. So I'm excited to see him get to lead this backfield.
Yes.
And here's a fun stat. You know, everybody who isn't a Tennessee fan, who doesn't watch us every Saturday, they'll look at the stat book, and we're a passing team, right, Jordan?
Hey, right.
We're a passing team. We have 2,500 rushing yards in the last three seasons under Heupel, each season. 2,500 more. You know, that's at least 2,500 yards or more in the last three seasons since Hop took over.
That's and the passing yards is not far ahead of that. They're balanced.
Dude, it's honestly, he runs the ball more than he passes. The only reason passing is so crazy is because we have such an open play from running the ball.
Right. You brought that up. I'm gonna bring this up too. I seen a list. ESPN put a list out of their top 25 college football coaches. Heupel didn't even receive a single vote for the top 25.
Wow.
Yeah. Disrespectful.
I mean, dude, look, I'm not one that's going to sit here and toot our guy's horn, toot, toot all day long. I'm not going to say Heupel's the best coach in the league or even in, you know, in the SEC, because I firmly believe there's probably two guys that's ahead of him. But I'm telling you right now, Hop's not that far off. I mean, look at what he's done for us as a university. I mean, we had guys in here. We used to be a blue blood of college football, Jordan. And we've had guys come in here and almost wreck this program because they don't know how to run it.
Yeah.
This guy's worst season to this point is 7 wins.
You know, what do you do? What do you do? Like, let them keep sleeping on him. Their biggest thing is they say his offense is a gimmick. If it's a gimmick, stop us.
40 points a game is a gimmick?
Stop us.
You ain't stopped it in three seasons.
That's what I'm saying. There's been one team that's been able to stop it, and it's been Georgia. That's it.
Georgia.
Granted, you know, that's the one team you've got to – that's the one team you've got to get past. I think Heupel will figure out a way how to do it eventually. I do. I hope it's this year, but we'll see. You know,
it takes years of recruiting. It takes matching what they have to back up the things that they start. I mean, they're starting 5-star guys, and they backing them up with 5-star guys.
Exactly.
It's hard to mess with that kind of depth until you have that kind of depth, and then it becomes a scheme game. Kirby, how good is your scheme when we've got another 5-star guy to come in and help this guy who's tired?
Right. It's that blew my mind. I seen that, and I'm like, how does he not receive a single vote when you've got guys like Kiffin?
Please tell me Shane Beamer didn't get a vote.
You know, I didn't see it, but I didn't really look that far into it. I just kind of skimmed over it enough to see that Josh Heupel didn't get one. And it's like, dude, are y'all kidding me? I would almost bet you money Beamer got one, though.
If he did, that's a shame.
Him and
you're not going to tell me he's better than I.
No. So, that being said, I'm going to pose a question to you. Do the spring games really matter?
Yes and no, if I can take that stance on it.
Which side are you taking? Like, if you've got a gun to your head, no questions asked, which side are you taking?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
And why do you feel like they matter, though? That's my question.
The more reps you can get in, especially with the younger guys, like we've mentioned tonight, the more reps you get in with those guys, whether it's in front of 10,000 fans or whether it's in front of 100,000 fans, whether it's an orange and white game or whether it's, you know, an open practice at that point, because that's pretty much what this spring game was an open practice.
Yeah.
You get those reps in front of a crowd. You get to hear the cheering. You get to hear the stadium noise. You get to hear the music. All of that shit matters.
Yep.
Every bit of that matters. And sure, to a college kid who, you know, some of these guys are coming in, like Boo Carter, he's coming in from Chattanooga. Yeah, he had a big following coming in, 39 scholarship offers. There ain't nothing like stepping into Neyland, brother.
That's true. See, okay, so I'm gonna agree with your stance on it, and I'm gonna say this though. They do matter, but they don't, and it depends on how far up the pecking order you are. They don't matter if you're somebody like, say, Nick Saban has been for the last 10 years. You know what you got. It's just a formality at this point. you might, because you're not showing anything. You're not going to go out there and show half a quarter of your offense. You want to see what these young guys can do, and that's okay. Now, if you're a guy in your first year, like maybe Kalen DeBoer, somebody like that, even if you kind of know what your talent level is, this is one of those times where you're like, okay, I'm going to stick them out here. I'm going to see who's really bought in.
Right.
You find out in the springtime and in early fall practice who's bought in. I don't think it's questioned with guys like Heupel, this, that, and the other. Heupel, Kirby Smart, you know, even
like you just said, your tenured coaches, like your Nick Sabans, your Kirby's, your Hops, those guys have had multiple years on campus. They're building their roster. So some of these guys that they've got starting for them now, they've known them for 3 years. They've known them for 4 years because they've recruited them through high school. So, and, you know, like for Nick Saban, I mean, when he was there at Bama, he was recruiting guys in their sophomore year in high school.
Right.
You know, same thing with Ohio State. So, I mean, those teams who have already built their roster for the next, you know, three recruiting classes are having to go into the younger guys in high school and almost bet on potential at that point, which ain't necessarily a bad thing if you're Saban. I mean, you're look at all the talent that guy pulled in without
it's
really
a luxury.
Having to fight for him. I mean, didn't have to fight for him in the season that they were coming out. So, because he'd already recruited him so heavily.
Right. At this point, it's a luxury. At that point, it's a luxury. So, you know,
I pray we get to that point.
I think it's coming. I don't, you know, here's my thing though. Hype may not win a natty. He may not win multiple. He may, let me back up. He may not win multiple natties. I think he can get in one at least while he's here. Even if he don't though, man, Tennessee football is light years ahead of where it was when he took the job. And 10 years ago, whenever 10, 15 years ago, when Lane Kiffin took the job. And I like Lane. That's saying a lot. I like Lane. Lane had talent. I seen this thing the other day, actually. Who walked into the worst situation? Kiffin after Fulmer, Dooley after Kiffin, Butch after Dooley, or Pruitt after Butch, and then you got Heupel. I'm going to tell you right now, Heupel walked into the worst situation out of all those.
Easily. The dude who walked into the best situation was Lane Kiffin.
Yeah.
Fulmer had two bad seasons, and that kicked him out. I mean, that dude was winning 10 games a year. And we shifted Fulmer out for a hot dog and a handshake and Lane Kiffin. You know, and he came into a pretty decent situation. He made Crompton better than he should have been.
Kiffin had talent.
Great on that guy for being able to run an offense fantastically. And he had a great defensive player in Eric Berry playing for him too, a future all-NFL player and a Hall of Famer. So, you know, that's – to me, Kiffin walks into the best situation. It's hands down. Hype walks into the worst situation. Look at that slew bed load of trash that
I mean,
fell.
That's what I was saying. Kiffin had – Phil, he got complacent, but Phil didn't not recruit well. He had talent. There towards the end of his tenure, he just didn't develop it like he should have. Kiffin developed that talent into what Phil could have. And when I say that, I mean it in the sense of Phil already had his big guys there. You knew what you were getting out of his star players. Yeah. Kiffin developed his next set of star players. After Kiffin, Dooley, I think Dooley would have been okay, honestly, if he wouldn't have made such awful coordinator hires, man. Jim Chaney was the best hire he made. Sal Cenceri screwed that man, screwed the pooch, buddy. I mean, everybody was scoring on his defense.
I'm going to be honest with you, man. I think that Dooley benefited from having a fantastic player like Tyler Bray here. And Tyler Bray would have won way more games with a guy like Lane Kiffin.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, because Tyler could sling it, son.
I mean, Tyler Bray was – he's one of the more underrated and under-talked about QBs in Tennessee history. done a lot for us here. And I mean, I'm pretty sure he owns the passing yards record for a single game for us.
Maybe.
He came close to it if he didn't break it. He came close to it that day. But anyway, hands down, it's Hype walking into a crappy situation.
Oh, I mean, absolutely.
Walking in after Pruitt?
Well, okay, so here's where I was going with all this. Dooley comes in after Kiffin. Kiffin left us in just an absolute shit show. Okay, let's just call it what it is.
Yeah.
Then after Dooley, here comes Bujo. But Bujo done well. He done well enough to kind of stabilize things for a little while. You know, I mean, granted, he went 4-8, though. You don't do that here at your job.
He left it in a decent situation, besides not having offensive linemen.
Right, right. And then, you know, you got Coach Cornbread coming in here, and dude don't know what asparagus is. We're going to move forward. No, we didn't move forward. We moved back. Okay. You know, don't hand me that. You know, you might have moved forward in the drive-through line, getting your McDonald's bag to put your cash in, and you still sucked. You know, like, you still sucked. Oh, that's the problem.
Man. Trash.
That man cleaning toilets is too good for him. I'm just saying. I'm going to say it right now.
How
cleaning toilets at the restaurant is better than any job he's got for him. Like, that's almost too good for him.
How you going to pay to win games and lose?
I don't know. Maybe we can get Jeremy Pruitt on here. Somebody add him. Somebody add him. I want him on here.
Full interview.
Full interview.
So we'll ask the hard-hitting questions.
Oh, you dang right. Like, Jeremy, how much do you enjoy asparagus?
How much money did you hand out?
To the dime. I need an itemized receipt, sir.
How'd that Sue and Us go for you?
Well, that being said, though, buddy, so we've had some movement on the basketball transfer portal front.
Nice.
Darlington Dubar.
I see.
Both him and the kid from Belmont. I can't, the kid from Belmont, his name escapes me at the moment.
Oh, man.
Both of them, though, were on campus this weekend for the Orange and White game. Mm-hmm. Dubar committed, though. He's here. He's a ball. Here's the thing about him, though. Him and fellow Vol target, Chaz Lanier, top four in offensive in the country in offensive efficiency last year. The only ones ahead of him, other ones in the top four, I can't remember the other guy, but the other one was Zach Eady.
Oh.
So, you know, you're shitting in high cotton there.
Easy to have that much when you sit in the paint all the time.
Mm-hmm. Camping, Coleman.
Trash.
Old Coleman. That being said, sounds like, you know, there were some rumblings that Jemai Mashak wouldn't be back. He's coming back. That's what's been said. Adu, though, man. Jonas Adu. Supposedly, okay, he was going to leave for the draft. His agent said, Jonas, I think you can go to the draft and you'll get drafted, maybe late second round or whatever. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess Jonas wasn't happy with that analysis and he cut his agent loose. So from what I've heard, and his agent, Bass, I hate to say it, his agent was probably right. Jonas, no, you're not going to the NBA this year. You're not. Hired a new agent. His new agent was like, well, you should ask Tennessee for double the money on your NIL deal. And Ricky Dale and the staff said, nope, see you, bye.
Yeah, bud. I mean, did anybody watch the Purdue game? This is where I'm going to give Purdue a little bit of credit. Zach Eady owned Jonas. Owned him. Estrella did better.
Well, here's the thing. Seemed like this year, Jonas has improved a ton. I don't want to knock him.
He had his games. He did.
But it seemed like this year when we played a team with a physical big man, not just a physical big man, but a guy, a big man that could just, you know, push him around. Jonas didn't have an answer for him. Jonas couldn't handle it.
Nope.
He got owned.
Didn't like physical basketball.
No, he looked timid as a kitten against Eden. Mm-hmm. And
afraid he's going to get bumped into.
You know.
Afraid he's going to get hurt. I mean, I would be too, somebody that big, but here's the thing.
Somebody that big that could all stab you.
Use your size, bud.
Yeah. You know, somebody that damn big. Right. It's kind of like in the post, the way I look at post play in college basketball, especially, it's kind of like offensive line, defensive line. Low man's going to win.
Mm-hmm.
And Jonas ain't going to do it. Jonas couldn't push my big ass out of the lane. All right. Not if he wanted to. That's just the way it is.
He might steal the ball from you, but I can back him down.
That's right. That's right. I'll back him down like juvenile, son.
Yeah.
Just don't even. Don't even.
That's cupcake work right here.
There you go. That's like handle my light work, you know? That's what I've been told, though, or what I've heard anyway, is that, you know, that he wanted double the NIL money and the staff was like, nope, see you later, Jonas.
Funny that anybody off of this team besides Dalton Connect thought that they were going to be an NBA player.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Not being harsh, but we didn't have another NBA-style player on this team but Dalton Connect.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So, you know, with that being said, Tobey Awaka decided he was going to hit the portal. Well, then it was said, well, since Jonas is gone, he's coming back, which that's probably a pretty solid assessment, I would say. But it come down to now, Igor Milic Jr. From Charlotte, 6'9". That's the new name to watch in the portal. Word has it, Tobey is on wait and see mode. If we take him, Tobey's gone. Which I don't blame him. I can't be mad at the kid. Like,
no,
do what's best for you, buddy. You got to do what's best.
Well, that kid's good enough to start somewhere. Absolutely. He's good enough to be a starter. So, I mean, if you're not going to get that nod here, man, you don't want to be a six man, because that's what he'd be for us. He'd be six man if he wasn't starting. But no, I want to see that guy succeed. So I'm with him. If he ain't getting to start, find you a starter, man. Find you a place to start.
I still want to see him here, though, man. Like, that kid's toughness, I love it. I fell in love with how that boy plays ball the last 10 games of the season. Like, he gets down there, dude, and he bangs like a screen door in a hurricane. I love it.
I could see him going over and playing in NC State.
Ooh, DJ Burns.
Joining up with
him. Man, that'd be hellacious right there.
If DJ Burns comes back, I don't know. I think he might have been heading out. He had a hell of a tournament, so.
Right. That's it, buddy. So, that being said, I think we've touched on everything with the basketball portal. Let's talk about the baseballs. Baseballs. So, did you know the Tennessee baseball team is your current home run leader in all of college baseball with 101 on the season?
101 home runs?
101 dingers. Yes, sir.
Wow.
Dingers. So
I seen us walk off one a couple of nights ago on the old X.
So, yeah, dude, I'll tell you what. So LSU was in town this past weekend. Get the brooms out. The Vols swept them. Which is big, actually. LSU's not a bad they're not a bad baseball team. They're young this year, though. And it helps a lot be able to beat them whenever you don't have Paul Skeen up there throwing absolute piss missiles at you.
Yeah.
You know. Mm. You know, so Friday, they go in, they win the game 6-3. And Kirby Connell, Fear of the Stash, surpassed Redmond Walsh for most game appearances with 105.
Nice.
Kim Caldwell, new Lady Vols coach, throws out the first pitch in front of a record crowd of 5,901. So, wow. Yeah, that new stadium, buddy, it's the bee's knees. Billy Amick was back in, though. Go ahead.
Shout out Lindsey Nelson.
Lindsey Nelson. Word up. Billy Amick, though, buddy, he come back in the lineup in a big way with a dinger. Falls had a strong fifth inning, though. That's what put him over the top. Three runs in the fifth, thanks to two LSU errors. That's what put him over the top to win that game 6-3. Saturday, baseball's win in a pitcher's duel, buddy. True pitcher's duel. 3-1 in front of another record crowd, 6,155. Yeah. Don't tell me the orange and white game didn't help with that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But still.
People was like, hey, we're done watching this. Let's go watch the baseballs.
Right. Drew Beam got the win. Moved to 5-1 on the season. Nate Snead gets his third save on the year. 3-1, you take it how you can get it. Previous attendance record, this is a fun fact. Previous attendance record was 5,086. That record has already been broken 13 times this season. Don't tell us Vol fans don't show up and show out.
Vitello, son. I mean, he has changed the culture for the baseball team. We've been saying it for years, but, I mean, he just keeps breaking records, so we keep saying it.
He's like DJ Khaled, man. All he does is win. Then we go to Sunday. Vols win 8-4. Get the brooms out, baby. Sweep them. And our very own Dalton Connect throws out the first pitch for that one.
I'm going to miss him.
Oh, buddy, I think we all are. Christian Moore gets two homers. Blake Burke with one. Both tied career home run record for a single season. Or no, career home run record, I'm sorry, with 42. Nice. Both of those guys have 42 dingers on.
So two dudes with 42?
Two with 42.
Holy, son. What is going on?
What's in the water? What's in the water? But I mean, AJ Causey.
We wasn't a home run team last year. We were, but we weren't. If that makes
this
sense.
This year it's all about the long ball. There's no small ball in Knoxville.
That's crazy.
Then, you know, but to close it out with, AJ Causey got the win on 4 2/3 innings with seven strikeouts. So, you know, what this past weekend tells me is maybe the pitching's getting a little bit better. That was a cause for concern earlier in the year. And the bats have been there all year long.
Clearly.
You know, so.
If we can get 101 at this point in the season's crazy.
Isn't it? You know, we done the Volin' Out baseball special earlier in the year. We said 50 wins. I don't think we hit 50, but it's going to be close. It's going to be close. So,
do we get it done this year?
Probably not. I mean, I hate to say it. That's a BBS in me.
Yeah, I know. Syndrome.
You know, I don't want to get my hopes up. It's like,
well, I didn't say we was going to win the NCAA tournament. Look what happened.
It's like Otis Driftwood said in Devil's Rejects. I always keep my expectations low so I'm never disappointed.
Yep.
Oh, man.
Not being the best. For my movie, but not on
here. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, not on here. PG-13 on here.
Need to watch those movies out there if you haven't, though. They're good.
Right. Buddy, that being said, I think we've touched on just a little bit of everything we wanted to tonight. You ready to put a bow on it?
We can put a bow on it.
Let's put a big, big orange bow on it. We'll end it how we usually end it. Go damn Vols.
Go damn Vols, brother.
Yes, sir.